Happy Easter. Could you think with me one word? Forever. If you could just lift up your heads and give your ears to me. Okay, I think that's what we are called to do. Could you just consider that word, one word, right now? Forever. Forever. I'm looking at you right now, and there are many different responses. Okay, I don't know how you interpret that word, one word, forever. But that's Christianity, forever. Okay, that's Christianity. Apart from it, you're not dealing with Christianity. Okay, just think with me. One word, forever. And today, on this Easter Sunday afternoon, title for today's message is Go Back to Galilee and There You Will See Me. This is resurrected Jesus speaking to the disciples, and hopefully it'll speak to you. Okay? And Jesus was raised in Jerusalem, okay? Jerusalem. But he's asking disciples to go back to Galilee. And he already said, I'll be there before you go there. And you must wonder why. What is he trying to do? Go back to Galilee and you will see me, the resurrected Christ, there. Have you met resurrected Christ, by the way? Have you? I'm really asking the question. What do you mean? Because I think we will see in this passage, a lot of people believe in dead Jesus. Jesus was crucified. Didn't he die? Of course he died. But a lot of people, that's where you are. Right? That's where you are. Just like three ladies that we're going to look at today. A lot of people believe in dead Jesus. Jesus still hung on a tree. You're not going to find him there. That's what the angel told the disciples. You're not going to find him here because he has risen. Okay? Christianity is the religion of open tomb. Okay, it's a real picture. Okay, real picture of open tomb. This is how Jewish tomb looked like. A little bit different than American or Koreans. It's like a little cave, and then there is a stone gate, kind of like rolled over, and it covers it. And this thing is anywhere between 500 kilograms to 1,000 kilograms. Okay, we're not used to kilograms. That's about 1,000 pounds to about 2,200 pounds gate. There's no way for you to roll it by yourself. It's just an impossibility. But Christianity is the religion of open tomb, which separates from all the others. I want you to know. I think we got to know what we believe, don't you think? It separates from everything else because he is risen and he's alive, and everything stands upon that. Apart from it, Christianity just kind of crumbles. It's just a dead religion, okay? Ethics and morals. Do this, do that. That's not Christianity, right? It separates from everything else because you're not going to find him there because he has risen. Whereas all the other religions and their leaders are in the tomb. They are, okay, dead and buried, and they have shrines. And Christianity have no shrines. Cross is just a symbol, right? He's alive and he ascended and he's sitting on a throne and he's reigning the universe. That's what we believe. Is that what you believe? Okay. Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius, Joseph Smith, Moonies, and simply all others, they are dead and they are buried. And that's just the way it is, okay? Secondly, of course, Christianity is the only religion where God came to us. Oh, what did I do? Okay. Tomb is empty, right? Do you know any other religion with an empty tomb? Is there any evidence that any other leaders of any other religion is alive? Do they claim it? No. Christianity is the only religion that the leader is alive, resurrected. Okay? And as Christianity is the religion of empty tomb, and it's the only religion God seeking men. Everything else is man seeking God. And you may think, oh, that sounds similar. No, it's not. It's completely opposite. Everything else is man seeking God, okay? Whether it is bowing 100,000 times or you do good over evil more so that you will be, make sure you'll be in their heaven. It's all the works. It's work-based religion. Christianity is the only religion opposite God, grace-based religion. We really need to know this. Okay? Simply, the fact is, Christianity says, we can't do it. It's an impossibility. Okay? In fact, when you realize that, that's when you will cling on to Christ. Okay? It's just completely different thing. Okay? Only religion, God-seeking man, and rather than man-seeking God. All the other religion is your work, work-based salvation, which is an impossibility. Bible says, no one's good. No one seeks God. No one knows God. No one understands God. In fact, we hate God, Bible says. We are rebels of God. We're like those dead bodies buried in the graveyard. And God, come and make you come alive. Okay? As you listen to the Word of God, as the Spirit of God breathe upon you, is that what you believe? Okay. And one more thing I already shared that separates Christianity from everything else is God of grace. It's all God's work. We talked about this on Friday night too, Good Friday. It's all God's work, right? He came to us. He died for us. He was raised for us. What did you do? What did I do? Christianity says nothing. Nothing. It's all God's grace. Okay, so I just want to start with that kind of introduction. And this morning, I woke up really early. I went to 6 o'clock service in the morning, and then went to bed. I went back to bed and came back here. But this verse was reminded. It's this book of Revelation, Jesus speaking. Could you look at this? Okay. Fear not, this is Jesus. I am the first and the last. His proclamation is that he's the creator and he's the consummator. He's the beginning and the last. And we are somewhere in between. He is the beginning and he's the end. He's the first and the last. And I'm a living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forever. Okay? That's why I asked you to think about that word forever. Okay? Can I just ask you, how many of you could claim that I died and now I am alive forever? How many of you could say that? Can anybody say that in this world, in history? I died and I'm alive forever. Can anybody claim that? I don't think so, right? Not humanly, not physically. Only Jesus, only God-man did, okay? But in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ Jesus, every one of you could claim that. I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. Did you know that? That's Christianity. That's Christianity. That's what we believe. And I am not trying to be arrogant, cocky spiritually. No, not at all. Far from it. It's just the opposite. Because it's all grace. All his work. To an undeserving person like me. But that's Christian faith. I don't know whether you believe in that. Just because you're sitting here doesn't mean you believe in that. It doesn't. Okay? It doesn't. But I really pray that will be the belief and conviction and the status that you'll be in, which will inevitably turn your life around, I think. Okay? So, look at this. I'm a living one. I'm alive. Right? Jesus is not dead. I'm alive. In the book of Revelation, he declares that I died. I literally died. Can I just ask you? Jesus died on Friday, Good Friday, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? It'll be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, earthquake, and he breathed his last. I paid. It is paid. It is finished. At 3 o'clock, he died. And Saturday, all day, he was in the tomb. And early on Sunday morning, say 5 o'clock in the morning, he was resurrected. So how many hours is that? Youth group, how many hours is that? Nare. We only went over this last night. About 38 hours. Thank you. 38 hours. 38 hours. Where was the body of Jesus? Inside the tomb, right? Where was the spirit then? Was he dead? A lot of people think he was in hell. No, actually he wasn't in hell. He said to two robbers when he was on the cross, if you look, read book of Luke, today you will be in paradise with me. His soul was in paradise. But what I want you to think about is his body and his spirit was separated. Can you picture with me? Okay. But in 36 hours, it's been separated. His body was in the tomb. 36 hours it was separated. But when resurrection happened, what happened? The body and the soul bodily resurrected. That's Christian faith. Bodily resurrection. When Christ returns, it'll be bodily dissension. Now, I know that's exactly what I'm trying to do right now. I don't know whether you knew this or not, but there's a great doctrine to know. You will have a bodily resurrection. Every single person in history, living and the dead, when Christ returns, they're going to have a bodily resurrection. You're dead. Your grandfather, my dad who passed away 25 years ago, he will be resurrected, bodily resurrection. Isn't that going to be a spectacular day, right? Spectacular day. When is that going to happen? Anytime, anytime. That's Christian faith. That's Christian faith. Okay? So, Christianity, just John Stott says, is a resurrection religion, separates from everything else. Without it, it falls apart. And just to make a point, okay, the message of resurrection was the central message in the New Testament church and or Book of Acts. Read Book of Acts. There are 10 sermons, 3 of them by Peter, 1 by Stephen, 6 by Paul. Guess what the major central theme is? It's the resurrection. It's all about resurrection. You know, it really shakes me up because I don't know about you, those of you who grew up in church. Many of you did. I did. Did you hear a lot about resurrection? Honestly. No, these days I'm really wondering about this. Why is it that people are not preaching about resurrection? Entire Book of Acts, entire apostolic preaching centers on the message of resurrection, which presumes the cross. But we don't hear much about resurrection. It's the central message. I'm determined for the rest of my life, especially as we go through this prayer request, that we will be like a New Testament church, because American church doesn't look like New Testament church. Korean churches doesn't look like New Testament church. Don't you think? We meet once a week for 1 hour, and we say we're a church and we're committed. We love each other. I don't think we do. I don't think we do. We don't even know each other, let alone we care about each other. Right? How do you say we love each other when we see each other for 1 hour and we don't even talk? I don't even know what your issues are and trouble is. And how do we say we love each other? I don't think church right now look like the New Testament church. New Testament church, they meet every day. And they share things and they care for one another. right? They embraced one another. They forgave each other. That was church. And please, at this time, don't point fingers. Let's look at my life, okay? My life. Because otherwise, we will never have a unity and right spirit. If you just point fingers, which is what enemy does, Satan does all the time, pointing fingers, we will never see a church. Now think about it. Does American church or Korean church nowadays, does it look like New Testament church? Why is that? Perhaps it has to do with forever. Perhaps it has to do with resurrection. Do you believe it? I'm just, with all my heart, I'm asking you, because this will make the difference. Do you believe it? Okay. To the New Testament Christians and apostles, preaching and proclamation of the resurrection, his kingship, his messiahship, his lordship, and him returning. What a message. That was the gospel. How about to you? Is that the gospel? Is that a good news? How many of you say, and this time I ask you to answer it with voice, how many of you say Christ returning is a good news in your heart? Could you say amen if you do believe? Wow, this is good. I heard maybe 40%. How do you measure that? I don't know. Yeah, I hear about 40%. Do you really believe Christ returning tomorrow is a good news, gospel? That's pretty good. If you don't, what do you believe? What do you believe? And the sub-question would be, what do you live for? Right? That was the gospel. To the New Testament church, apostles, preaching and proclamation and the resurrection, his kingship. He's the King of Kings. He's the Messiah. Right? And his lordship. He's the Lord of all. We don't worry about tithing. People say, should I tithe? Should I not tithe? That's not even an issue. It should be all of you if he's really the Lord of your life. No? Isn't that what it means? If he's the Lord, that makes me what? A servant or slave. And you claim that, should I give 10% or not? Come on. Who are you trying to, you know, kid around? Right? It just doesn't make sense. So my question to you today on this Easter Sunday afternoon, and he's alive and he's here, and I'm asking you, do you believe forever and do you believe in resurrection? Or you don't? What do you believe then? Okay. Now today's text, I don't know how I did this. Okay. Today's text is from Matthew 28, which is the last chapter of First Gospel. And the last chapter, listen to this, last chapter of every gospel is the resurrection account. Why is that? Why is it that the last chapter of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is about resurrection? Why is resurrection the last chapter? You know why? I really thought about this. Because resurrection is like the closure. It's the closure. If the cross is the climax, I think resurrection is the closure. That's how Christianity closes. Okay? The gospel closes. And if you believe in Christ, that's going to be the story of your life as well. If you do believe, resurrection will be the closure of your life. If you don't, that's a scary place. Okay? So, Matthew 28 on Sunday morning, which is today, Easter's first Sunday morning. Now, after the Sabbath, which is Saturday for us, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, that's Sunday morning, today, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, can you imagine that? Okay, because it's there for us to imagine. It's the second earthquake in 3 days. When Jesus passed away, there was an earthquake. Remember that? Okay. There was a great earthquake. I don't know what great means. Great earthquake. An angel of the Lord, one angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and he sat on it. Can you picture that? I couldn't figure out that name. In Peter Pan, that guy, Jiminy, I don't know. Anyway, there was an angel. He came down. He rolled back 2,000-pound, you know, stone gate of the tomb. He rolled it back, and he kind of sits on it. It's kind of cute if you think about it. It's kind of, he's kind of saying, guess who did this, you know? I think that's what he's doing, right? So angel descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. And his appearance, Matthew records, like a lightning. Can you picture that? Glorious lightning, right? And his clothing, white as snow. I don't know about you. Right away, I was thinking of Mountain of Transfiguration when Jesus was ready to depart with Moses and Elijah. That was, it was something like that, when the glory of God. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Okay? And for the fear of him, that angel, the guards, the Roman guards, trembled and became like dead men. They were just frozen. Whoa. Just, what just happened? Right? But the angel said to the woman, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Salome, he said to the woman, do not be afraid. Sounds like God, doesn't it? Do not be afraid. Sounds like God. Right? For I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. That's dead Jesus, right? That's dead Jesus. I know you're looking for dead Jesus, okay? But he's not here because he has risen. You know what? If you look for dead Jesus, you're not going to find one because he's risen, right? That's what he's saying. Are you looking for Jesus who was crucified? He's not here, for he has risen. And he said, come, take a look where he laid. Verse 7. And then angel telling the ladies, go and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. What's up with Galilee? He's heading back to Galilee. Jerusalem is on the south, Samaria in the middle, and Galilee is on north. Okay? That's where Jesus' ministry was. And Jerusalem is where Jesus came down and died and resurrected. And Jesus is saying, I'm going back to Galilee. I'm going to go ahead of you. You will come and you will see me there. Okay? So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. It was a mixed up, right? Great fear. What just happened? And great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And they were running, and on the way they met Jesus, resurrected Jesus this time. Jesus met them and said, greetings, shalom. And they came up and took hold of the feet and worshiped him. If you meet resurrected Christ, you will prostrate yourself and you will worship him. You will. You absolutely will. And then what did Jesus say? Same thing the angel said. Same thing. Do not be afraid. Same thing. Do not fear. Go and tell my brothers, disciples, go to Galilee, and there you will see me. Okay, that's today's passage. Okay? You know, resurrection is the final chapter of the Gospels. That's going to be the final story. If you believe in Christ, that's going to be the final story of you. If you are in Christ. If you are in Christ. Just think about it. Finally, it is over. Almost a week in Jerusalem. Okay, last week was the, you know, Passion Week. Passion means suffering, right? Jesus came to suffer. He was betrayed. He was, remember the agonizing prayer? Remember the denial? Remember the scourging? Do you remember the beating? Do you remember the insulting? Do you remember the humiliating? And finally, he was on a tree, cursed, right? Those of you who came to church on Friday night, cross means cursed. Okay, cursed. Right? Finally, he was cursed, hung on a tree, forsaken and separated because he became sin. He became sin. He bore your sin. Every single sin of yours. And finally, he breathed his last and he yielded his spirit to the Father. That's just 3 days ago. Finally. Okay, just as he promised, after 3 days, he was raised and he is risen from the dead, conquering sin and death, abolishing the last enemy, death, sting of death, sin, forever and ever. Then that's the closure. Now, would you look at me, please? If you believe in Christianity, if you believe in Christianity, you know what death and resurrection means? Death means penalty paid, all the sin of yours, of humanity, and it is taken care of. His blood is your freedom. His death is your forgiveness and your pardon. That's what it means, right? But it does not stop there. Just as he promised, he was raised from the dead, and by doing so, he has conquered and he has abolished sin and death. Okay? Can you think with me what that means? He abolished death. He abolished death. Do you believe that? I'm looking at your face. It's hard for me to tell whether you believe that or not. Do you believe God, Jesus, abolished death? What does that word mean? That word is sort of like a slavery word. Slavery was abolished, right? Now, Jesus' resurrection abolished death, meaning there's no more death. There's no more death. That's Christianity. Hey, youth group, did you understand that? We talked about this. The death has been abolished. What does that word mean, abolished? Sort of like a slavery is abolished, meaning there is no more slavery. You're no longer slave, you're no longer master. It's dead. And death has been abolished. Isn't that something? That's what Christianity is. Just think about it. Think about it. Death has been completely abolished. That's the closure. That's the final story. And that is the gospel. If you're in Jesus Christ. If you're not, that's not going to be your story. It's going to be a completely different story. It's going to be a completely different story. You'll be standing before him with all of your life and sin before the holiness of God. Please look at me. You'll be standing before him. Oh, I think I could get away from that. No, you're not going to get away from that. You'll be standing before him. Every single one of you, without Christ, you will stand before his holiness, and we will be judged according to what we have lived. And that's the story. Okay? I must tell this story. Okay? An angel sent down, removing the stone gate, and it was on that Sunday morning. Jesus was raised. Can you picture with me? Let's say you're Jesus. You're inside the tomb, okay? And I don't know how to describe this because it's hard to imagine. Jesus' body, and there was a resurrection. You're inside the tomb, and you're raised. Now, you're kind of like, you're alive, but the gate is still there. So what would you be saying? Oh, man, you know, I'm alive, but I'm kind of stuck here. Is that what would it be happening? Absolutely not, right? The stone gate has been removed, not for Jesus, but for the ladies. I don't know what their plan was. Their plan was to, I think, you know, work on his body, kind of put like things that you do to the dead body at the time. You put like creams and things like that. I don't know what their plan was, but I don't know how they were going to get in because that gate was about 2,000 pounds. I don't know what their plan was because there were Roman soldiers and there was a Roman seal. You cannot get in there. But they wanted to get in. But God sent one angel and removed the stone. And just think about it. The gate wasn't opened, not for Jesus, but for the ladies, so that they could get in and see the empty tomb, right? God sent in an angel, and Matthew records that appearance, you know, like lightning, glorious look of resurrection. And the conversation was, do not be afraid, because if you're looking for crucified Jesus, he's not here and he has risen. I'm going to ask you, are you looking for dead Jesus, crucified Jesus, and you're not going to find him because he's not dead, he's alive? I really thought about this question. A lot of people love to meditate on the cross of Christ, which is a good thing. But he's not there because he's risen and he's alive. He is alive. Okay? You're not going to find him. And the message is, now go to Galilee and you will meet me there. Okay? What is so important about Galilee? Okay? And everything here is pointing toward go to Galilee. Okay? What is the message about Galilee? Do you wonder? I think this is a very, very important message. This is resurrected Christ telling his disciples, go to Galilee, you will see me there. What is the most important thing about Galilee? Galilee is the place where Jesus called them. Come follow me. Come follow me. That's where Jesus first met the disciples. He called them. Galilee was the place where he did all the ministry, teaching, preaching, and miracles, and discipled them. This is the place where God, Jesus, discipled the disciples. And finally, probably the most important reason is that, you know, most important reason is this is the place where Jesus will be appeared before 500 people. Okay, and he will be raised, ascended, and telling the disciples and giving the great commission and the purpose, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. Okay, let me summarize this for you. Why is this Galilee so important? This is where God met you. Are you there? Do you feel like you drifted away really, really far? Do you even remember that God called you? Has God called you? This is the place where he fed you and discipled you. Many people were discipled. Are you following him? I'm asking you. Are you following him? Are you a disciple of Jesus? But most importantly, this is where he gives his last commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations. And then he takes off. Are you living for that? What does resurrection mean to you then? Do you even believe in resurrection? That's Christian faith. Go back to Galilee. There, you will see me there. Has God called you? Don't wander around. Just listen to him. Has God called you? Are you following him? Has he discipled you? All these years of feeding, taking care of you, and discipling you, are you following him? And lastly, go and make disciples of all nations. Is that somewhere in your life? Is that why you live? That's Christianity, brothers and sisters. That's what it means to believe in resurrection. Go back to Galilee. There you will see me. If you stay in Jerusalem looking for dead Jesus, you're not going to find one. You're not going to find one because he has risen. He's alive. I just pray that you will meet resurrected Christ. Okay? Remember his calling. Remember his grace of discipling you. This church tried to raise so many disciples. Are you following Christ? And lastly, go and make disciples of all nations. Is that what you're living for? That's the Messiah's last great command to his disciples. And he's coming back. And he's coming back soon. And I just pray that this message of resurrection will awaken your soul so that you will come alive. Okay? Let's pray.